Leichler. The cork came out with a satisfactorily loud pop, and the robot set two champagne flutes on the bar top in front of Humphreys, then poured a thimbleful of wine for him to taste. Humphreys tasted, nodded, told the robot to pour. Once it had, he lifted his glass to Farrar and toasted. To victory. She made a smile and murmured, to victory. We've got them on the run now, Humphreys said happily. I'm going to drive Astro completely out of the belt. Farrar smiled again and sipped, but she was thinking. 13 ships destroyed. How many people did we kill? How many more have to die before this is over?
Hotel Luna, Residential Suite. Pancho could not locate Fuchs. For 2 days she had had her people search for him. They learned that under the false identity she had provided, Fuchs had spent a few days in his native Switzerland, then flown to Cellini. "He's here in Cellini?" she asked her security chief. The man looked uncomfortable. "Apparently." "Find him," she snapped. "Wherever the hell he is, find him. You got 24 hours. She had just returned to her suite when the phone told her the report on Fuchs came in. She glanced at her wristwatch. 8 minutes before midnight, Pancho saw. They're working overtime. The suite's decor was set to Camelot, Pancho's fantasy of what King Arthur's fabled castle might have been like. She sat herself on one of the sofas in her bedroom and told the phone to play the report. Through a mullioned window, she could see knights jousting on a perfect greensward beneath a cloudless blue sky, watched by a cheering throng standing before tented pavilions, complete with colorful pennants that fluttered in the breeze of an eternal springtime. The young man whose hologram image appeared in the middle of the room might have been one of the knights of the Round Table, Pancho thought idly. He was a good-looking blonde, strong shoulders, honest, open face with sky-blue eyes, his hair stylishly long enough for ringlets to curl around the collar of his jacket. He was sitting at a desk in what appeared to be a smallish office somewhere in the Astro headquarters. The data line hovering to one side of the image identified him as Frederick Karstein, Astro Security Department. Pancho listened to the brief report with growing incredulity and annoyance. "You mean he was right here in the Hotel Luna?" she asked the image. The image flickered momentarily. Then the handsome Frederick Karstein said, "Ms. Lane, I'm live now. I can answer your questions in real time, ma'am." "Are you telling me that Fuchs was living just a couple hundred meters from my own quarters?" she demanded. "Yes, ma'am. Apparently he was." "And where is he now?" Karstein shrugged his broad shoulders. "We don't know. He seems to have disappeared." "Disappeared? How can he disappear?" "If we knew that, Ms. Lane, we'd probably know where he is." "You can't just disappear! Cellini's not that big, and the whole doggone place is under surveillance all the time." Karstein looked embarrassed. "We're certain he hasn't left Cellini. We've checked the passenger list for all the outgoing flights for the past 2 weeks and examined the surveillance camera records. So he's someplace here in Cellini." "It would appear so." Pancho huffed. "All right. Stay on this. I want him found, and right away, too." "We'll do our best, Miss Lane." She cut the connection, and Karstein's image winked out. "Dumb blonde," Pancho groused to herself.
"Privateers?" Jake Wanamaker asked, his rasping voice croaking out the word. "You mean like pirates?" Pancho had invited him to a breakfast meeting in her suite. They sat in the tiny little alcove off the kitchen, but the hollow walls made it seem as if they were outdoors, beneath a graceful elm tree with softly rolling grassy hills in the distance and the morning sun brightening a clear sky. They could hear birds chirping happily and almost felt a cool breeze ruffling their table linen. Pancho took a sip of grapefruit juice, then replied, "Yep, yo-ho-ho and all that stuff. Cut off Humphrey's ships as they're bringing their payloads here to the moon. or to Earth? Wanamaker took a considerable bite out of the sticky bun he was holding in one hand, chewed thoughtfully for a few moments, then swallowed. They've beaten the crap out of us in the belt, sure enough. It'll be some time before we can build up enough forces to challenge them again. But a few ships operating closer to home, outside the belt, Pancho let the suggestion hang in the air between them. Wanamaker muttered, cut HSS's pipeline to the market, hit Humphreys in the pocketbook. That's where it had hurt him the most. After washing down his cake with a gulp of black coffee, Wanamaker said, set up a blockade. Right. Absently wiping his sticky fingers with his napkin, Wanamaker broke into a wicked grin. We wouldn't even need crewed ships for that. Just automate some small birds and park them in wide orbits around the Earth-Moon system. You can do that? He nodded. They'd be close enough to be remotely operated from here at Solini. It'd be cheaper than using crewed ships. Pancho had only one further question. How soon can we get this going? Wanamaker pushed his chair back from the table and got to his feet. Real soon, he said. Very damned real soon.
Later that morning, with some reluctance, Pancho slipped on the soft suit and sealed the opening that ran the length of the torso's front. Doug Stavanger was already in his suit. To Pancho, he looked as if he'd been packed into a plastic-wrapped food container, except for the fishbowl helmet he held cradled in his arms. "This thing really works?" she asked, picking up her helmet from the shelf in the locker. Stavanger nodded, smiling at her. "It's been tested for months now, Pancho. I've worn it outside myself several times. You're going to love it." She felt totally unconvinced. Never fly in a new airplane, she remembered from her first days as a pilot. Never eat in a new restaurant on its opening day. Plucking at the transparent nanomachine fabric with gloved fingers, she said, "Kind of flimsy, but it works like a charm." "That mean you gotta say prayers over it?" Stavanger laughed. "Come on, Pancho. Once we're outside, you'll wonder how you were ever able to stand those clunky Cermet suits." "Uh-huh." She could see the enthusiasm in his eyes, his smile, his whole demeanor. He's like a kid with a new toy, she thought. But he was right. It took roughly 10 minutes to walk from the airlock at Solini to Factory Number 11, out on the floor of the giant crater Alphonsus. Before even 5 minutes were up, Pancho had fallen in love with the soft suit. "It's terrific," she said to Stavanger, shuffling along beside her, his boots kicking up gentle clouds of dust. "It's like being without a suit, almost. I told you, didn't I?" Pancho held both hands before her and flexed her fingers. "Hot spit! Even the gloves are easy to work. This is like magic." "Not magic. Just nanotechnology." "And the radiation protection?" "About the same as a hard shell suit," Stavanger said. "We could add electromagnetic shielding, but that would probably attract a lot of dust from the ground." She nodded inside her helmet. "You're okay for short periods of time on the surface," Stavanger went on. "Off moon, an electromagnetic system could be added to the suits easily enough." Pancho asked, "Doug, old pal, how'd you like to sign a contract with Astro to manufacture and distribute these soft suits?" He laughed. "No thanks, Pancho. Solini's going to develop this product. We'll sell them at pretty close to cost, too." Pancho understood the meaning behind his words. If Solini signed up with Astro for selling the suits, Humphreys would complain. If Solini gave a contract to HSS, Astro would fight it. She nodded again inside the fishbowl helmet. Better to keep this out of either corporation's hands. Better to let Solini handle this one themselves. The low curving roof of the factory loomed before them. Stavanger and Pancho climbed the stairs to the edge of the factory's thick concrete slab, then stepped through the car wash. the special airlock that scrubbed their suits free of dust and other contaminants before they were allowed to enter the ultra-pure domain of the factory itself.